morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, birthday girl, Jamie Snowden. Please give her some birthday wishes on our live blog. We're talking some Packers football, and to do so this morning, we have a special guest joining us on the line. We have former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us on the phone right now. Mr. Crabtree, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Brian?
Very good. How have you been enjoying the World Cup, Tom? I noticed earlier in the tournament you took over the Twitter account for the buzzer on Fox to follow along with one of the USA's games. How was that?
That was a pretty good time. I've been getting into the World Cup, as I'm sure most people have, more than usual. A lot of hype with the U.S. team, and they did pretty well. They came out of a tough group, and then obviously that was quite a shocking result yesterday with Brazil getting smoked on their home turf. So yeah, I've been enjoying it. I've been watching it as much as I can, and it's been pretty exciting.
There's not as much flopping in football as there is in soccer. Kind of two different sports. I mean, you can't flop in football. I mean, you're supposed to get hit, right?
Yeah, there is a little bit of flopping, I guess. I'm not used to that, and it can be frustrating, you know, watching a game and stopping every 30 seconds or whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of come to expect it. It's part of the game. It's those guys are trying to get calls, and I guess you got to respect that. Some of it's a little outrageous, but at least it kind of makes for good entertainment, I suppose.
Yes. It is a great game. I do like it myself. I get frustrated with the so-called flopping every once in a while, but I do enjoy it myself. Tom, give me an update on your rehab from your injury suffered last season. You know, you were placed on injured reserve. You ended the season on injured reserve with the torn biceps. Is it fully healed now?
Yeah, it is, actually. I was cleared a while back, actually, probably the beginning of the offseason program. I was cleared to do, you know, just about everything football related. So, yeah, it's healed up pretty nicely. And, I'm generally healthy, and I'm just kind of working out and enjoying the sunshine down here in Florida. And, yeah, that's about it. That's where I'm at right now.
Last we saw in June, you had a workout with the New York Giants, which I thought was notable for the connection between yourself and former Packers tight end coach Ben McAdoo. How do you think Coach McAdoo will do in New York as the new Giants offensive coordinator?
I think he's going to do an awesome job. He's one of the best football minds I've had the pleasure of being around. Obviously he wouldn't be in that role if he wasn't. So I think he's going to do a great job, and, you know, I wish him a ton of success there. And, hopefully we cross paths again at some point. It was nice seeing him. I got to talk to him, for quite a while when I was up in New York, a few weeks ago. And, it was good seeing him and kind of catching up. And, I think Giants fans should be pretty excited to have a guy like that.
I have to ask, Tom, with you being a free agent, have the Packers reached out at all, been in contact?
No.
No, there hasn't been anything?
No, not at all.
Not at
but,
all.
But, you know, it's all right. That's kind of part of it. You know, they feel comfortable with where they're at, and, that's the way it goes.
We're talking to former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree, Super Bowl XLV champion here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central this morning. Tom, asking about a former teammate of yours, Jermichael Finley. You know his situation with the injury he suffered last year. He also has a $10 million insurance disability policy. And if I could, I'd just like to ask you to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. How would you approach his situation knowing that you could receive potentially $10 million if you never played a down again?
Yeah, that's I've read about that situation. Man, it's you know, it's not something to be taken lightly, obviously. I mean, with his health, and then you know, if he chooses to continue playing football, you got the health question, I guess. And then on the other side of that, if he's done playing football, it's, you know, that's a whole lot of money to take care of yourself and your family for a while. So I don't know. It's hard. I can't say what he's thinking or what he's feeling or what he's going through. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough deal. I'm sure he's torn about it. But I mean, from what I've read and heard from others, it sounds like, and you know, even just watching his Twitter updates or whatever, sounds like, you know, he's really going after the football thing again. And you know, hopefully for him, if that's what he wants, hope it works out.
I'm curious, with the NFL reaching this preliminary settlement on a class action lawsuit, you know, for concussions, just happened earlier this week. I'm just curious, had you ever been, as a player, contacted about joining this lawsuit?
No, I haven't personally.
Do they stay away from current players?
I don't think I really know of anyone that I've talked to directly that's involved in that lawsuit, at least not off the top of my head. So yeah, I pretty much know as much as the public knows, as far as just reading about it and reading about it in the news and all that.
Is it a thing where they kind of stay away from current players, and it's more a thing for retired players?
Yeah, I'm sure it is kind of, that's probably more the mindset. I don't know. I mean, you might know better than me, which is, I guess, isn't a good thing. But I don't even know that any current players, and when I say current, I mean guys that are, you know, actively still playing or trying to play or whatever. I don't know of any that are involved in that whole deal. So I'm sure that will kind of make things even more of a gray area and kind of muddy things up a little more.
Yeah, I think it tends to be mostly retired players that are a part of this. So
yeah.
You know, using this as an opportunity to talk about your family. How old is your son now, Tom?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How old is your son now?
He will be 4 in October. So yeah, he's a little tough guy. Sometimes I feel like he's about 10 years old, and, you know, he beats the crap out of me most days, which is fine. You know, that's what I'm here for. So, yeah, he's an intense little guy. He's all about football, and, he's playing T-ball now, actually. And, his first game, he hits the ball pretty well. And instead of running down to first base, he chases after the ball and starts tackling the other team, fielding the ball, and trying to take it back from him. So it was borderline embarrassing and proud. It was a weird moment, but it was hilarious. So,
you know, I'm curious a little bit. You know, we just talked about this concussion lawsuit, and you're talking about him playing, you know, little league or T-ball baseball now. I mean, in a few years, he's going to have the opportunity to play, you know, Pop Warner football. How do you decide when he's going to be ready to play tackle football, put on the, you know, the pads, the helmets, and all that, with concerns nowadays about that kind of thing?
Yeah, it definitely is concerning. You know, looking back at it, I remember, I think the first year I played, you know, football with pads and contact and all that, I was like 6 years old maybe. So just looking back at it, that's kind of nuts to me. But that's just how I feel personally after going through it. You know, I've been playing football for 23 years now, which sounds ridiculous. So with him, I kind of, myself and my wife Chelsea, we both kind of agree we're not really going to be fans of him. You know, we're not going to probably want him to play contact football that young. If he wants to play flag football, you know, that, I think that's awesome. I think it's a great alternative for young kids. So, yeah, as far as a particular age when I want him playing contact sports like that, it's hard to say. But definitely not 6 years old. So
that seems to be, there's options for them to play flag football until they get older. So I do think there's options out there. You know, Tom, before we let you go here, you can answer me this. I hear you're getting into drag racing. Are we going to see you on the NHRA circuit anytime soon?
Wait, where is this rumor coming from? What is this all about?
Well, I heard this from a mutual friend of ours, and I don't know. He could just be
you got your spies out there, huh? You guys watching me down here, you know? I've actually I've taken my car. I don't know if I should say this. I don't really care. I've taken my car to a drag strip. So I've been to the drag strip and done all that, which may or may not be the smartest thing ever. But I have a helmet. And my car is very fast, I'll say that. But I did it at a drag strip. It was illegal. It was legit. And took all the safety precautions. So I'll just leave it at that.
How fast do those cars get up to?
Did you say how fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, mine's a street car. It's a Mustang. It's a GT500. So, I mean, it's a street car. I drive it around daily and... you know, I have fun with it at the track for sure, and I guess at the track it depends on how much you get into it and how much you modify it, but I've seen guys in cars similar to mine that, you know, get up over 150 miles an hour in a quarter mile, and so, yeah, it's pretty intense, but it's a cool rush, and, you know, maybe something I could get into after football a little more, but... We'll see.
Sounds good. Tom, I appreciate the time, your candor in talking with me and answering these questions. And I know the fans love to hear from you as well. So thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, you got it. I appreciate you having me. And good luck going forward. We need to do this more often. We'll talk again.
Sounds good. Packers tight end, former Packers tight end, Tom Crabtree, Super Bowl XLV champion, joining us on the show this morning to talk some football. Great to hear from him and talk a little bit, catch up. Our former weekly guest here at Railbird Central during, what was it, the 2012 season? 2011 season? I think it was the 2011 season here at Cheesehead TV, and great catching up with him. Glad to have him. Glad to have you, the listener, join us on the show this morning as we continue our discussion of the Green Bay Packers here at Cheesehead TV. I think one of the more notable things that have, you know, come out since our last episode of Railbird Central on Monday, just yesterday, and we posted this here at Cheesehead TV. Heck, if you scroll to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, you can go. Check it out. Yesterday, odds were posted by Bovada, the online odds maker. Go check them out at bovada.lv. For the NFL MVP award and what players have what odds and what have you. And the Packers connection to all this. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, checks in at 15-2 odds to win the NFL's MVP award in 2014. 15-2. So what is that? 7.5-1 odds, basically, of Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP award, which is third overall. And if I remember correctly, he is behind Peyton Manning, who is the odds-on favorite at 3-1 odds. And then Saints quarterback Drew Brees, he's got 11-2 odds. Those are the only two players in the NFL that have lower odds than Aaron Rodgers. So if I could throw this out on the live blog, what do you think of those odds? Would you place a sawbuck on Aaron Rodgers to win the NFL's MVP at 15-2 odds? Do you think he can do it? Do you think he can win the MVP award? Any and all of those questions, feel free to answer. It's so difficult to say, you know, is he going to win the MVP award? I will say this, you know, if he stays healthy, unlike 2013, I think he has a great chance. I think anytime Aaron Rodgers plays a full season for the next 5 years, I think he's going to have a good chance. I mean, he's obviously one of the best players in the NFL. We spent a lot of time talking about that on Monday. You know, how he's ranked, you know, he came in the NFL Network's, you know, annual poll at 11th overall, but again, coming off the injured season, and, you know, being named a tier one quarterback, quote unquote, tier one, by ESPN.com and a poll held there. Aaron Rodgers, obviously one of the best players in the NFL. And as long as he, you know, is healthy, I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, certainly has a chance to win it. I see on the live blog here, Brian P. O'Connor comments, Peyton can't throw the ball anywhere near Rodgers' ability. This would be the year for number 12 to swing for the fences and go after the MVP. I certainly think, you know, Peyton Manning is past his prime, where Aaron Rodgers is in his prime. I do think they were very comparable players, maybe when Peyton Manning was in his prime a few years ago, in terms of being, you know, being able to throw the football, whatever. You worry at Peyton Manning's age, all of a sudden, fairly soon, there may be a steep drop-off. And I'm not saying it's going to come in 2014, but I wouldn't say Peyton Manning has a whole lot of years left in him. Certainly the healthier he stays, the longer his career can be prolonged. But, obviously fantastic season last year for Peyton Manning. Had a lot of talent surrounding him as well. And I still think he can play at a high level in 2014. But he is getting older. He is getting older. And I do think that's where Aaron Rodgers has the edge. He's in the prime of his career. He can just, you know, fire that ball off and get rid of it so quickly. And I think that's, you know, one of Aaron Rodgers' best strengths is his ability to get that ball out when there's pressure and just, you know, get it out quickly. And, you know, of his ability to avoid sacks and things like that. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, there's no reason to think he can't put up statistics, you know, on par with what he did in 2011, his previous MVP season with the Packers. He won an MVP that season, the year the Packers went 15-1 in the regular season. Obviously, a good year for him and a good year for the team in general, although it didn't end quite the way the Packers wanted it to that season. No reason he can't put up 4,000 yards passing, put up a touchdown to interception ratio of 4-1, you know, somewhere around 40 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's shown he can protect the ball even better than that and throw single-digit interceptions in a season, assuming he plays the whole year. Have a quarterback rating over 100. All these things are certainly within Aaron Rodgers' talent ability. He's done them in the past, and he can do them again, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, his surrounding cast this year, he's going to be surrounded by some new players. No longer does he have, at least for now, JerMichael Finley. No longer does he have James Jones. He's got his fourth new center partner in the past four seasons. So he's going to have to get used to a young player, probably, playing in front of him at center. All these things are challenges. But, you know, nothing that I think is going to prevent Aaron Rodgers from having a terrific season. I still expect the Packers to be one of the top offenses in the NFL, like they've been pretty much ever since Aaron Rodgers has taken over as the team's quarterback. I mean, ever since he's been the starter in Green Bay, I mean, the Packers have always been an explosive offense, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I mean, he just is a special, special talent and has the ability to make the players around him better. And heck, a season like this, this may be the best Packers ground game in Green Bay at least a decade, at least since Amon Green. And, you know, that's only going to take pressure off Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I think take pressure off the wide receivers. Now you could argue, is the running game going to be so successful that it, you know, takes away from Aaron Rodgers' statistics? I could see somebody making that case. The NFL is a passing league. I think the Packers will always be, as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, primarily a passing team. Maybe they run slightly more, but I don't expect major change. I just expect the Packers to be more efficient at running the ball. And they're still going to pass plenty, even though Eddie Lacy is there. And speaking of Eddie Lacy, and I guess to kind of transition, while staying on the same topic here of odds for the NFL's MVP award, Eddie Lacy checks in at 100-1 odds. And now this is a bet I might consider placing. 100-1. That's some pretty good odds there, as opposed to 15-2 or whatever it is for Aaron Rodgers. Not bad. I mean, 100-1, that's pretty enticing that I could place a single dollar on Eddie Lacy and potentially come out with 100 at the end of the season. So Eddie Lacy, he ranks at 100-1, which is tied for 29th in the NFL, according to Bovada. It's tough. I mean, all the guys at the top of this list for the NFL's MVP are quarterbacks, you know, most of them. Not to say that a running back can't win the NFL's MVP, as we've just seen not long ago with Adrian Peterson coming away with that award, and he too makes this list. I think Adrian Peterson is at 25-1 to win the MVP. But, here's Eddie Lacy. A guy who's a dark horse MVP candidate, but hey, he's now entering his second season. So, and Eddie Lacy talked about this offseason, how he's more comfortable in the offense. He understands it better. He was a little more hesitant as a rookie, especially early on, because he wouldn't, he would second guess himself a little bit in that, did he know what he was doing? Did he know what his responsibilities were each and every play? And he doesn't really have that anymore entering year number two in the NFL. And I think that's why we can see an even better performance from Eddie Lacy in 2014. You know, hey, his rookie year was good. He got over 1,000 yards. He had the best season by a Packers rookie running back in franchise history. But there was still room there to grow. Consider that Eddie Lacy missed one full entire game due to injury when he sat out with a concussion. He just got off to a slow start in general. I think he was learning the offense. The Packers didn't give him the ball a whole lot early on. You know, considering they had a solid cast around him too with James Starks and John Kuhn and Jonathan Franklin for a while before he got injured. They shared carries a little bit. But I think in 2014, Eddie Lacy can have an even better season. I wouldn't rule out 1,500 yards. from Eddie Lacy. That's a little bit tough, especially if you consider the Packers spell him a little bit with James Starks, who's coming off a good season himself last year. But, I mean, I just think if Eddie Lacy's healthy the whole season, he starts the whole season, he gets the majority of the playing time all season, I could easily see 1,500 yards from Lacy. And the fact that, you know, opposing defenses have to respect Aaron Rodgers and they can't stuff the box with you know, eight guys every play, nine guys, you know, there's going to be holes there open for Lacy. And I just think he knows the offense better. He just understands the game better. And I think he's talented. Boy, oh boy, you see these spin moves Eddie Lacy puts on, and boy, he's nimble for a big guy. For a running back that weighs 230-plus pounds, he's got some wiggle in him. Now, he's not Maurice Jones-Drew or anything like that, but, you know, I just, you know, Eddie Lacy, I think, has, you know, he can put on the afterburners out there. He's not a speed back, but he has speed. He's not a shifty back, but he can be, he's got a little wiggle. I think there's qualities in there to believe in Eddie Lacy that he can, you know, gain over 1,500 yards. And boy, if he does that, he's got to be in the running, I would say, for the NFL's MVP. If he gains over 1,500 yards, has maybe a dozen plus touchdowns, and it would certainly help if he's a, you know, a threat catching the ball out of the backfield. I was pleasantly surprised how good Eddie Lacy was catching the ball out of the backfield last year. What did he have, about 25 catches or so? More than I thought he ever would. Not that he did a whole lot catching the ball out of the backfield, but I guess I didn't even expect he would reach 25 catches out of the backfield. He did a good job. Can he get better? Sure. And another thing he needs to get better at is pass protection. I mean, obviously, John Kuhn kind of held the role as the third down back last year. If Eddie Lacy, you know, if he wants to become a three down back and stay on the field more, he needs to be more reliable in protecting Aaron Rodgers when they do pass. But all things I think he's going to get better at in year number two, not to mention year number three, year number four. I mean, right now we're in the prime of Eddie Lacy's career. You know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers being in the prime of his career, entering, what is it, year number nine, year number 10 for him. Right now we're in the prime of Eddie Lacy's career at year number two, knowing the short lifespan NFL running backs have that are shorter than players at most other positions because of, you know, the beating they take. You know, when you feed Eddie Lacy and any running back the ball, you know, 20-plus times a game over the course of, you know, a 16-game regular season plus preseason and the playoffs, it takes its toll. They take a beating, and you can understand why their careers are a little bit short, not to mention just age sets in and, you know, probably get a little less fast over the years. It's difficult. So the Packers got to enjoy Eddie Lacy right now, I think, while he's in the prime of his career. John says on the live blog, if Lacy becomes a three-down back, that will improve the offense immensely and give it more options. I'm right there with you. I agree with that statement. You know, I think the Packers offense, boy, oh boy, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and Eddie Lacy is healthy, boy, if the Packers could just have a season in general in which they have better health than they have the past 2 years, the whole team would be much better as a result. I mean, look how often last year where, you know, Aaron Rodgers practically missed half the season. I mean, he didn't play with Eddie Lacy a whole lot last year. He didn't play with Randall Cobb a whole lot last year. Imagine if the Packers have all these weapons on the field at the same time. Rodgers and Lacy and Cobb and Nelson. Wow. I mean, how you know, lethal. How dangerous can they be? Very dangerous, in my opinion. So, definitely some potential there. Some potential MVPs for the Packers this past season. Here we are on a Wednesday. The one thing happened in the world of the Green Bay Packers today, the rededication of Harlan Plaza taking place outside Lambeau Field today, you know, as part of the renovations, the ongoing renovations that have seemingly now taken place for, you know, the past 2-3 years. Bob Harlan, former Packers team president, is going to be there today. They named the plaza after him. The plaza is the area right outside the main front entrance of Lambeau Field, the Miller Gate at Lambeau Field. That's where the statues of Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau are. But it looks totally new now. If you don't live in Green Bay and you only saw what, you know, Harlan Plaza looked like last season and previous seasons, you're going to be in for a little bit of a shock the next time you drive by the stadium, in that it's going to look totally new. The statues are still there. They're just in a different place. The Packers just kind of reconfigured how that, you know, the atrium looks at Lambeau Field, and the entrance, and how they expanded the pro shop. There's more steps leading up to the stadium. They're in the process of moving the Hall of Fame. They're adding a new restaurant, all those kind of things. But yeah, so, you know, they're getting ready for Harlan Plaza to be open to the public, and they're going to have a rededication ceremony today at 1 o'clock p.m. local time, I believe. Harlan's going to be there, and they're going to, you know, have a little ceremony. They're going to, you know, probably unveil the new Lambeau Leap statue, replica, whatever you want to call it, kind of a place for a photo op for fans to kind of leap into the arms of these statuesque fans. Should be cool. So that's happening today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. If you're in Green Bay, go check it out. Should be neat. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. Thank you to Packers former Super Bowl champion Tom Crabtree for joining us, talking a little football on the show today. Great to talk to him. Great to catch up with him. And hope to do it again sometime. But happy birthday to our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. Jamie, have an awesome day. You're an awesome person, and thank you for helping out at the show all this time over the years. But we'll see you later, folks. We'll see you Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time is the live version of Railbird Central. And a thank you to everybody who listens to the show, the podcasted version as well. But we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Best Feeling by the String Cheese Incident, along with Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
My right.